a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
South Dakota Public Broadcasting's State House coverage is brought to you by the South Dakota Bar Foundation and by SDN Communications.
To our internet listeners, the chair failed to turn on the connection to the feed, and it had to think a little bit before it was going to allow us to get on. So, at any rate, so far this morning, we have approved the minutes and taken a roll call, and we have a quorum. At this point, I'd like to introduce the pages. Would you come up to the microphone and tell us who you are and what you're going to do with the rest of your life after you leave here?
My name is Alexis Schubert, and I go to Sisseton High School. Next year, I will be at USD to do business management and then hopefully get my MBA right after that.
All right. Thank you.
My name is Alex McLaurie. I'm from Elk Point. Next year, my plans are to go to University of Hawaii and study bioengineering.
Well, USD is a good choice because that's where I went. But, boy, Hawaii sounds awful nice, especially right now. So I'm going to remind those that are going to testify today to please sign in at the podium, and also that for the pages, if they have handouts, please pass them out behind the desk here. This morning, we're going to take the bills that were on the calendar in order. Senate Bill 53, we are going to put off until Monday. Is there anyone that came from out of town to testify on Senate Bill 153? That's the last one on the list. There's not, because I would take some testimony if you're from out of town, and then we just defer that over. But if not, we're going to move the bill over till Monday. Okay, we'll move it over till Monday. Anything else that the committee has this morning before we get started? If not, we'll take Senate Bill 54, and will those the proponents please come forward? Welcome, Ms. Hilmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deborah Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Senate Bill 54 is basically an act to revise the definition of a boat dealer, a used vehicle dealer, and a dealer of mobile homes and manufactured homes, and to revise certain penalties for selling motor vehicles, snowmobiles, mobile homes, manufactured homes, or boats without a license. As you know, we did a red tape review this last year. Every agency was asked to look at their laws and try to make them consistent. And so what you have before you is a bill that attempts to do that. At this time, we do have an amendment to the bill, 54FA.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
So move amendment 54FA.
Second.
What we'll do is we will, you're in favor of this amendment, I'm assuming. We will take that as a, and discuss the bill as it is, as it would be amended. And since you're bringing it as, I will make an exception. And we, all those in favor of that amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We will consider the bill as amended and speak to both the bill and the amendment since okay. You're bringing. I do that if it's a person that has a bill because they've seen something, just for everyone understands, because you've seen something in the bill, you want to make the change, that's how you want it to appear. Otherwise, we'll take the amendments, later on. So go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We appreciate the latitude that you gave us on that, because that was an oversight on our part, something that the industry brought to us, and so we want to make the bill in the best form that we can. Senate Bill 54 basically just cleans up and makes consistent our language defining who is a dealer, and then makes the penalties consistent for selling without a license. While the bill is long, many pages, it does not really change anything beyond the definition and the penalties and then clarifying the exemptions from licensing for certain entities when they make transfers. I think the easiest thing to do would to do a review of the bill by section. In Section 1, it adds used boats to the definition of a boat dealer. Whether you're selling new boats or used boats, you really need to be a licensed dealer with us. Section 2 of the bill, page 8. So we go from the first section clear back to page 8 before there's another change. Removes the criteria that you have to sell 5 or more vehicles, since this is already covered under another section of law, under 32.6b5, subsection 12. So we already have an exemption under the law that exempts you from having to have a dealer until you sell 5 or more, or 4 or more vehicles, actually. Current law, 32.6b5, lists all the exemptions from dealer licensing. Subsection 12 provides that any person who sells less than 5 vehicles in a 12-month period is exempt, unless the person is licensed as a dealer in another state or holds him or herself out as being in the business of selling vehicles. So if you're gonna actually operate as a dealer, then you would have to have a dealer's license, even if you sell one. But if you're disposing of your own vehicles or a fleet of your vehicles, there's exemptions under 32.6b5 that allow you to dispose of your vehicles. So if a farmer was going to sell out and wanted to sell all of his trucks and vehicles for his that he has in his inventory, he would be allowed to do that because he's not doing it as a dealer. He's just doing it disposing of his own personal property. So Section 3 of the bill makes the language consistent with other definitions of a dealer for manufactured homes. So that's all Section 3 does. Sections 4 through 8 of Senate Bill 54 make the penalties for selling without a license uniform. The initial violation of selling without a license is a Class 2 misdemeanor. If there are subsequent violations within a 2-year period, the penalty would then increase under this bill to a Class 1 misdemeanor. I would point out, too, that we did have a incarceration fiscal impact statement done that I believe that you have a copy of that basically indicates that the impact on the jail population is negligible. We don't have a lot of these, but what we do have a lot of times is we go out and we do enforcement on somebody because they're selling without a license. They're actually, you know, in the business, and they're what we would call and people refer to as curbstoners. And we go out and we do the case. We take it to the state's attorney. Because it's a Class 2 misdemeanor, a lot of times state's attorneys don't want to prosecute those Class 2 misdemeanors. So sometimes it takes multiple apprehensions of those people before they would then actually go after them. But we have had instances where we have prosecuted somebody for a Class 2 misdemeanor, and he's made statements that he'd gladly pay the $200 fine because it's cheaper than having to have a established place of business and a bond and all of the things that are required for our dealer licensing. So we're looking at trying to help us get these to court when we have these egregious violations of selling without a license. I can tell you we don't do a lot of these, but we do have a number of them that we end up dealing with throughout the year that we felt that this would give us some additional teeth to try to bring people into compliance. The amendment that I want to talk a little bit about, the amendments were brought to us by the insurance companies and the lenders. Under our dealer laws, we have an exemption for if a company or a insurance company or a lender who's doing a repo title is exempt from our dealer licensing laws. And that's what you will see that we have added in the amendment is that we added those two sections. Let me just find them here. Section 6 of the bill, which is the snowmobile. That's on page 11, line 16. That's a snowmobile, 32.6c2. 32.7a is our manufactured home section. So we put that same language in there. And then 32.7b2 is our boat dealers. And we added that same language to our boat dealers. So as I said, the bill is long, but it really doesn't make a lot of changes, but it really tries to make our laws consistent in the application of doing enforcement on dealers. And I have nothing else at this time. I would be happy to stand by for questions at the appropriate time, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. For the proponents.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Lindsay Ryder-Rapp, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Independent Auto Dealers. And I would just specifically indicate that our association is in support of the modification to the definition of used vehicle dealer that is contained on page 8. As Ms. Hilmer indicated, it's consistent with other sections of the code. As well, it's consistent with the department's interpretation. Our dealers know that if they hold themselves out to the public, that they are considered a dealer. So I would just concur with the modifications to that section and ask for your support. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. For the proponents of this bill. Further proponents. Last call for proponents. All right, we'll move to opponents. Any opponents? Any opponents? Last call for opponents. Seeing no opponents, we don't need a rebuttal. We'll move to questions by the committee. Are there any questions by the committee? Ms. Hilmer, I'm not going to let you get by. You knew that was coming.
Yeah.
When you were discussing this, somehow I missed something about 4 cars and 12 cars. Seemed like you said there was something about 12 cars, so and my mind was on something else, and so I didn't want to stop you, but if you'd clear that up, because I know it was, we had 5, it seemed like we've had 3, so can you kind of clear this up on all vehicles, what is it going to be, and can you go through that again?
Okay.
Thank you.
We have under 32.6B5, subsection 12, is the 12. Provides that any person who sells less than 5 vehicles in a 12-month period is exempt from the dealer licensing law. So that's where I was talking about the 12-month period in subsection 12, but it's less than 5 vehicles. We have another section of law that just says that it's prima facie evidence that if you sell more than that, then we can use that as part of our information to file charges if we think you are holding yourself out for business. But
thank you. Mm-hmm. No further questions? There's not. We'll close it to public testimony and open it up for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair? Sorry about that.
Madam Krebs.
I was thinking Madam Secretary here. All right, so we'll make a motion for a do pass on Senate Bill 54 as amended.
It's been moved by Senator Krebs and seconded by Senator Lucas to approve the bill as amended. Any discussion on that motion? No discussion. We'll have a roll call. The Secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay on Senate Bill 54 as amended.
Senators Krebs.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Omdahl. Excused. Otten. Excused. Ewing. Excused. Valley.
Aye.
4 ayes.
We have Senate Bill 54 has received a majority vote and will go to the floor. All right. Senate Bill 54 will go to the floor on the debate calendar. We will now take up Senate Bill 59. Proponents on Senate Bill 59. Welcome, Ms. Hilmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deborah Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. I think this is the DMV day today because Okay, all three of these bills are ours today. Senate Bill 59 is an act to increase the penalty for the trafficking of vehicle license plates and decals and to prohibit and provide a penalty for the unauthorized transfer of a vehicle license plate or decal and impose a penalty for altering or forging certain vehicle registration cards. Currently, it is a crime to counterfeit a metal plate, but it was not clear if it is also a crime to counterfeit a sticker or decal that is then put on that plate. There is also questions about counterfeiting of the registration cards and moving plates from one vehicle to another without permission. Senate Bill 59 really does three things. First, it makes it clear that a person counterfeiting a plate or sticker or decal is guilty of a crime. Second, it makes it clear that no one can transfer a plate from one vehicle to another unless the person gets the permission of the county treasurer or the Department of Revenue. And third, the bill makes it clear that you cannot forge the registration card or temporary permit. These penalties are consistent with other penalties in state statute under 32.9, which is our commercial licensing law, when altering a temporary permit for commercial registration. So what we tried to really do is that once again to make the penalties consistent for the violation that's being committed. We did have a paralegal that works with one of the courts that brought this to our attention, that they were having some issues with the altering of the decals or substitution of those plates. So we do have a incarceration fiscal impact that I believe you also have copies of because of the felony provision that is in there. And it indicates that the felony penalty in this act is a true mens rea crime and if prosecuted could well result in the jail sentence. However, violations are likely to be rare. Hence, the impact on jail population is statistically irrelevant. We do have these and we have seen them. I have to tell you that with the plate with owner, we have seen a number of people actually altering what we call the seller's permit. People will, if I sell you my car, I can go online and obtain the seller's permit. I can then put in 30 days from the date that I transfer title to you, I will put in that date. And what we're seeing is that we have people then that will take these permits because they don't want to go in and transfer the title or pay their excise tax or license the vehicle, perhaps. They will actually go in and alter these documents. This particular vehicle was actually sold to this person on March of 2010, and he actually altered it to July of 10. So we do have instances where we see these altered permits. The crime in this really is that then these titles are not being transferred into the proper ownership. Excise taxes are not being paid, and a lot of times license fees then are not being paid at the same time. So it is there is an impact. It's not huge. I will tell you that I did get some figures from the UJS on how many penalties they charged out for 32.5103, which is the section that we're talking about. And there were 271 of them where charges were filed. 138 of those pleaded guilty. 5 were convicted and 108 were dismissed. So it kind of gives you an idea that it is something that's happening out there. We try to do a lot of education on this particular situation because we don't like to see it. But we do feel that there needs to be some penalties in there for people that do intentionally alter our documents. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions at the appropriate time. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents of Senate Bill 59. Further proponents of Senate Bill 59. Last call for proponents. We'll move to opponents. Any opponents of Senate Bill 59? Any opponents of Senate Bill 59? Last call for opponents. Seeing none, no need for rebuttal. We'll move to questions. Questions by the committee. Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for Ms. Hilmer. How are most of these people usually caught? Are they caught by law enforcement at a traffic stop or a scene of an accident or something like that?
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Yeah, I think that's where we see them as law enforcement. We'll do some type of interaction with them, and then they'll notice that the permits have been altered. When the permits are, when our permits that the department issues off of the system are done, it actually prints the date in there 30 days from the date. When you get a seller's permit off of the system, it allows the seller to actually fill in the date. And most sellers are going to be 30 days out from the date that they actually sell the vehicle. But then the person that receives it's the one that's actually altering the document. And it is found in those situations, Senator Lucas.
Follow up?
If I could follow up, then since this would be a Class 6 felony, do if a law enforcement officer sees that the registration has been altered, do they read them their Miranda rights and give them that information that they may need to contact a lawyer because this is a major crime now?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I would be confident that they would do that.
I need to understand it a little bit better. So when I buy a new vehicle, since the plate stays with me, I put that plate on this new vehicle I bought, but when the sticker runs out, no, unless I get stopped, no one's going to know that I haven't paid for the registration fees. Is that correct? Where before I didn't have a plate. Is that the difference,
Mr. Chairman? We do have some ways of knowing that you purchased the vehicle. If you purchased it from a dealer, a dealer's required to put that transaction online. So if you bought a new vehicle and you took your plate off of your old one and attached it to your new one, we actually have that information within our database, and we do what we call a 45-day letter. So 45 days after you purchased that vehicle and the dealer entered that into our database, we send you a letter that says, our records indicate that you purchased this vehicle and you failed to transfer title. Penalties and interest are accruing, and it could be a violation of law. So we do try to follow up on some of those. Now, if it's a person-to-person sale, we don't have the mechanism at this point or the staff to follow up on all those. But we do, with our dealer transactions, notify people that they need to transfer those titles. And people, honestly, I have to say, you know, in 2008, when we implemented the new system, we had a lot of penalties and interest that people were paying because they were not transferring titles in a timely manner. I do have to say that people have gotten much better at transferring titles in a timely manner. We don't have near the problems that we had before. So I do think that whole process has helped in getting people to transfer titles, because there are instances where it can cause severe harm to the seller if the purchaser does not transfer that title into their name, whether it be tickets or vehicular issues, accidents where law enforcement shows up at their house in the middle of the night because they're still showing as owner, where our new system tries to capture some of that. I hope I went on a little bit, but I hope I answered your question, Senator Valley.
I just needed a better description, and that covered it for the questions.
I have one more.
Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What about vehicles that are purchased or brought in from out of state? Is there a way that you can track that with communication to other motor vehicle state departments?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lucas, not at this time. But I do think down the road there will be a possibility of being able to do that when all states get on to an electronic system. So,
and you commented that the fiscal statement, impact statement, showed pretty negligible. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. No further questions. We'll close it off to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action. Senator Lucas.
I'd move due pass on Senate Bill 59.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Lucas and seconded by Senator Krebs that a due pass motion, on Senate Bill 59. Comments on that motion?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think it was presented quite well, and while there aren't a lot of cases of people that are illegally transferring their decals or their motor vehicle plates or the registration, nonetheless, with the price of vehicles nowadays, we need to make sure that they're paying their fair share of the excise taxes and following the laws of South Dakota when they're driving their vehicles on our highways.
Any other further discussion? No further discussion. The secretary will call the roll on Senate Bill 59. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay.
Senators Krebs.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Amdahl. Excused. Otten.
Aye.
Ewing. Excused. Valley.
Aye.
Five ayes.
Five ayes. Senate Bill 59 has been approved by the Senate Transportation Committee. Senator Otten. Senator Otten has moved to place Senate Bill 59 on consent. Is there a second? Is there a second? There's not a second. So that will die for lack of second. Senate Bill 59 will go to the floor on the debate calendar. Now move to Senate Bill 60. Will proponents of Senate Bill 60 please come forward? Welcome, Ms. Hilmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Deborah Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Senate Bill 60 is an act to revise certain provisions regarding titling and licensing of boats and motor vehicles and to establish certain penalties for the violation of those provisions. Again, there is a fiscal impact on Senate Bill 60, and the penalties in the act are administrative misdemeanors. Their purpose is to enforce compliance with the provisions to which they adhere. These offenses are not likely to be criminally prosecuted, and in the rare cases they are not likely to result in jail sentences. Hence, their impact on the jail population is negligible. Under current law, there is not a time frame in which you are required to transfer a boat title or an MSO, and this is something that was brought to our attention this last year when rarity. I've been there, in DMV for 30-plus years, and it was the first time that we ever had a dealer that did not deliver an MSO within the 30-day period. And so we looked at the law, and we went, oh, boy, we have some inconsistencies here. And so then we did a research and found out that we also had it in our boat section that we did not have the 30-day delivery time period. So basically what this will do is clean that up and require that if you transfer an MSO, which is really the MSO, they refer to them as MSOs and MCOs. One is the manufacturer's statement of origin, which is really the birth certificate of the vehicle, or a manufacturer's certificate of origin. So one's a statement, one's a certificate. So they refer to them they're synonymous. But they're really the birth certificate of the vehicle that you get from the manufacturer. The law also went on and did not have a penalty provision for failure to timely deliver the boat title like motor vehicle title section. So we did clean that up as well. The other part of this bill is currently the exemption from the excise tax was not uniform between boats and motor vehicles. If you have a boat that is currently 11 years old and purchased for less than $1,500, it is exempt. While a motor vehicle that is 11 years old and is purchased for less than $2,200 is exempt. This bill makes that exemption consistent and eliminates confusions for the public as well as for when people go in to transfer titles at our counties. They get a lot of questions about the fact that, well, the car that I just bought was, you know, at the $2,200, but the boat's only at $15, and so it a lot of times will cause confusion. So the county treasurer's brought this up to us as one that they would like to see made consistent. Finally, Senate Bill 60 provides that a dealer must comply with the delivery of the MSO to the purchaser, and it also provides the penalty for Class 2 if they do not. So, and then it goes on to say that if they have a second violation within a 2-year period. So again, this is consistent with our Senate Bill 54, that it increases to the class 1 misdemeanor. I would like to point out, we did do a fiscal look at what the impact of moving it from $1,500 to $2,200 on boats. In a year's period of time, it is about $15,000 loss of revenue. Currently, the excise tax on vehicles generates about $1.8 million for in tax revenue, in the excise tax revenue. So that's all I have at this time. I'd be happy to answer any questions at the appropriate time. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents of Senate Bill 60. Further proponents of Senate Bill 60. Last call for proponents. Opponents of Senate Bill 60. Opponents of Senate Bill 60. Last call for opponents of Senate Bill 60. Seeing none, we'll move to questions by the committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
Deb, can you give me an example of some problem we've had in the last couple of years that takes us to the level of jail time? Or
are you speaking with the Mr. Chairman? I'm sorry, Senator. Are you speaking with the penalty for failure to deliver an MSO, or there are a number of things in here?
All the penalties in here after they're extended for about 2 years go to a class one, Mr. Chairman, misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if you could give me an example of what would of something that in the past that would have incurred that penalty and why it would have, just to get a picture.
Mr. Chairman, in this particular instance, because these are new MSOs, as you well know, our new dealers are very responsible and try to do the right things at all times. So I don't know that we would have any instances where a new dealer perhaps would be charged with a class one misdemeanor in this type of a situation. But there's always that possibility of a dealer going bad. They may be perfectly good on at one point, and then we have instances, as we had several years ago, where we have a dealer in a very short period of time go under and harmed a lot of people. And it does happen. It's not high, but it does happen. And when it does, it's a huge impact, to the citizens of the state, because they're the ones that are a lot of times left holding the bag, on those situations. And that is really why we have a lot of the things in our statutes and in our laws today, and the requirements that dealers enter that information into our online system, is because of some of those severe violations where dealers' failure to deliver titles to consumers, failed to pay off your loan when you traded a vehicle in. A lot of times the dealer pays off the lien so that they can get clear title. We've had instances where that has happened. But as I said, Senator, it's not high, but it does happen. And we think that the penalties should be there that give us the ability to go after these people when they make those types of violations that harm others.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Deb.
Further questions? Seeing no further questions, we'll close to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman, I move do pass.
Senator Monroe has moved second. Senate Bill 60. Is there a second? Senator Otten seconds. Discussion on that motion. Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It sounds like there is a problem here that needs to be taken care of. There really isn't enough teeth in the law to handle it as it is now. So I encourage your positive vote.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, the secretary will call the roll on Senate Bill 60. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay.
Senators Krebs.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Amdahl. Excused. Otten.
Aye.
Ewing. Excused. Valley.
Aye.
5 ayes.
Senate Bill 60 has received a majority vote of the committee and will be approved. And with that, it will go to the debate calendar. Okay, we've covered all our bills today. I think what I'm going to do is Senate Bill 54. Senator Krebs, would you take that to your caucus and to the floor? And Mr. Lucas or Senator Lucas, you're going to get all three bills to take to your caucus, obviously. And would you take 59 to the floor?
Yes, I would.
All right. And we have Senate Bill 60. And Senator Otten, would you take that one to the floor and to the caucus? All right. I think we've got all the bills assigned. Any other matters to come before the committee? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Been moved by Senator Krebs, seconded by Senator Otten. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Adjourned the meeting.